All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragons here. Preview of episode 2 coming up. We just had last this Sunday night the premiere. Curry and I both thoroughly enjoyed it, and the reaction from everybody on the, at least on the Twitter sphere, was positive for sure. Took over the internet almost like Old Thrones did, 100%. So, Curry, welcome. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, it's great to be here. Great to be back on the mic. The aftermath of episode 1 was incredible. It was, you know, the largest debut for an HBO series of all time. And I'm hoping that we can take this momentum and just run with it to as far as this season and this series will take us.
Absolutely. Yeah, the reaction was, you know, we were super positive, you know, 8 minutes after it aired. And then the rest of the world followed into Monday morning and all day Monday and into Tuesday. We're now recording on Wednesday evening here on the East Coast, and little preview action. So before we get to previewing the episode 2, let's talk just a little bit of maybe things we want to just hit before we pivot away from episode 1, right, Curry?
Yeah, so just some wrap up on episode 1, some things that either we didn't mention enough that we wanted to highlight a little more from our recap episode. And there's two things, and they kind of go hand in hand here. Let's shine the spotlight over onto Lord Corlys Velaryon. So just as a refresher, Lord Corlys Velaryon, he's the master of ships on the Small Council. He's married to the queen who never was, Rhaenyra. Rhaenys, sorry. Mm-hmm. Rhaenyra is the princess.
Yeah.
So he's married to Rhaenys, and he kind of, during the small council meeting, this is very early in the episode, he gives his report, and he mentions, there's issues with pirates. He mentions the triage. He mentions, I forget the name exactly, but there's like a pirate king of some sort that's going on.
Like a leader.
And yes, and the rest of the council just brushes him off, completely ignores it. They say, all right, well, he's killing pirates or whatever, so that's fine. Like, not our problem.
Yeah. Let's talk tourney.
Exactly. They really brush this aside, but in a show like Game of Thrones, nothing is ever said, you know, without a purpose. So clearly that was something to take note of. And based on some shots that we saw during the kind of the season-long preview that came at the end of the episode, it seems like there's going to be some sort of sea battles, or at the very least, you know, there's going to be ships, and there's going to be there's going to be action on the water. Some warfare action on the water. So I think, these pirates, this, you know, pirate king, whatever his name is, I think he's going to be involved sooner rather than later. And I think it's going to be an issue that it should have been addressed sooner. And Lord Corlys, he tried to warn the realm.
Yeah, he did his thing for sure. Anything else? Episode 1, while we're huddling here before.
Yeah. And then, back to the Velaryons. So there was two children that were shown, to be the Velaryon children. They weren't introduced. They weren't named on screen.
Correct.
I'm sure we'll get that at some point, but we saw them during the tournament. They were there with their parents, taking in all the action. They seemed pretty young, younger than Princess Rhaenyra for sure. But I just wanted to again shine a light on them because Lord Corlys is married to the queen who never was, Rhaenys, which means that her children kind of, you know, could have a claim to the throne. Mm-hmm. She could have a claim to the throne. Thereby, her children could have a claim to the throne. So, in the event that things get a little crazy with, with different people claiming the throne, the two children, the two Velaryon children, definitely could be major players down the line. I don't think they will be immediately because they're so young, but down the line, we could see them come back in the picture.
Yeah, especially because, you know, we're naming queens now, you know, and that's like kind of, you know, the queen that never was almost had, like, resume wise, like, it's like, I have a better resume than this guy, the cousin coming in here. And she got snubbed for the job. And a lot of, what they put on it, like that one emphasis in the prologue was like a woman was not given the role, and now all of a sudden a woman is given the role, and it's like if we're dishing that out, you know, the reaction, and I'm pretty sure that the queen that never was, you know, her boy at the small council was just like, hey, if we're naming queens, like, why not my wife, right?
Absolutely, that's exactly what he said when they were discussing the line of succession, and Viserys mentioned, you know, his daughter. Lord Corlys was like, well, wait, you know, why not Rhaenys? Well, you know, if we're talking, yeah, if we're going to nominate a queen, she would be the rightful queen. So, 100%. I could absolutely see him, you know, taking that stand and saying, I'm not going to support this queen when I'm married to the rightful queen. And you know, we could see that being, another faction going after the throne.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. I mean, so let's talk episode two. Going into episode two, we're riding this wave of episode one. Where are you at thoughts wise going into episode two?
So going into episode two, obviously we still don't know much about this world, about, you know, where we're at timeline wise. But I do, obviously we know some of the major characters for now. We know we have Viserys, King Viserys. He just lost his wife and his son.
He's kind of sick.
He's not doing well. He banished his brother. He named his daughter the heir. And then he also kind of was presented, Alicent Hightower came and kind of, you know, not made moves on him, but there's clearly something there. It's clearly something to watch.
So, he went to, wife passed away. He went straight to like the man cave and was like doing that little like train set type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was like he was just hanging out there, you know, doing some carving, some classic, like, you know, man cave vibes. And yeah, she came in for sure.
Yeah. So the things with Viserys to watch, one, what's he going to do with his daughter? How is he going to continue, you know, raising her to be his heir, to be the queen? Something that she really didn't show interest in at the beginning of the episode. And then secondly, obviously, is what is his, you know, relationship going forward going to be with Alicent Hightower? Is there something there? You know, Lord Hightower is kind of seem to be pushing that, so that he can kind of get himself more power. But is that something, you know? Yeah, like what are Viserys' plans there? Is he, you know, he just lost his wife. Is he looking to get back on the horse, so to speak?
Yeah, Rebound City. Yeah, Hightower. Just quick on Hightower. You know, so much time spent on Alison. Like, he's got that firstborn son. That got tripped up in the tourney. So like, I don't know if that's going to be, you know, we didn't see his even face, I don't think, but he does have, you know, a firstborn son that's just chilling out there. I don't know if anything of it, but it was just like, he got tripped up in the tourney and we know that he exists, from a show perspective. So just want to note that.
Yeah, absolutely. Another character. I'm sure he'll be featured at some point. A little more heavily than he was,
especially if he's the brother-in-law of the king at some point.
Absolutely.
But now, continue on, Kurt.
So the other characters we need to be aware of going into episode two, obviously, big spotlight on Daemon Targaryen. You know, he had a huge debut episode. He's this, you know, unpredictable, reckless, cocky, you know, warrior. And you know, he wants power. He wants to be the heir. He wants the throne. And he doesn't want to take it from his brother. He even says to his brother, like, you've never made me hand of the king. It's been, you know, 9-10 years. You've never made me hand of the king. Like, he just wants to, obviously he wants power. Hand of the king is, you know, you're the hand of the king. You're number two. But it's just, you know, he thinks he's a leader, and he clearly is. He leads the Gold Cloaks, the city watch.
Yeah.
So he's charismatic. People like him. People follow him. But he's reckless, and he's got to be watched for sure, because, and they even mention on the, in the small council meeting, they say, you know, oh, Damon will be terrible. He would be another Magor. I'm not trying to research because I don't want to spoil anything, but it sounds like Magor was a, you know, a bad king or a ruthless king, and not something they want to repeat. So we got to watch out for Damon, who was at the end of the episode banished, you know, back to Runestone, with his wife, and he actually brought his paramour with him, and she was also not named in the episode. Yeah, she was not named in the episode. I think she does have a name in the credits. I think it was Mysaria. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Something along those lines.
Shea vibes from
absolutely. Right. I mean, it's the same author. There's a lot of parallels between the two, you know, the two shows, the two books. But yeah, she's definitely got Shea vibes. If you remember, Shea was you know, Tyrion's paramour, who was a former Lady of the Night, who works her way up. She's working in the castle. She's, you know, whispering in the ear of Tyrion, and then all of a sudden we find out she's whispering in the ear of Tywin, and so that was a wild ride that she took. There could be a similar ride for this one, for Mysaria. You know, she could go right up to whisper in the ear of the king if Daemon gets what he wants.
Yeah. So, and yeah, she made the trip. She got on the team bus, headed out of town. Which is, you know, we'll, it means she's staying around, so we'll be seeing her for sure. Absolutely. But continue on, Kerr.
I mean, we already discussed the Velaryons. Obviously, we got to watch out for them, for Corlys, mm-hmm. and for his wife, Rhaenys, the queen who never was, because that could be a separate faction. That could be, you know, a third name going for the throne. If things get crazy, if things turn to war, which in Westeros they always seem to.
Exactly.
So this, we were talking a little bit before, but this is similar, it seems, to like when Robert Baratheon was on the throne, and then, you know, after he died, like all of a sudden Stannis, his brother, wanted the throne, his other brother Renly wanted the throne, and then his son Joffrey, you know, he was placed on the throne
by
others. So that's just, we could be seeing something like that, should there be issues with the succession of King Viserys.
Absolutely. And you referenced what we were talking about before. I think that there's, you know, there's a splintering, like a more splintering. This isn't the story of Daemon getting sent away and then his, you know, quest to come back and steal the throne. There's going to be so much more than that. And we see a little bit of that in the preview. That's why we're talking pirates. That's why we're talking, you know, the queen that never was, potentially, you know, just there's more splintering to be had, and more unstableness post announcement of, you know, hey, the princess, she's going to be the ruler now. And that's where I think, I don't know if we're in for like table setter totally of episode two, but I wouldn't be surprised if these next, you know, 1, 2, 3 episodes have a lot of vibes of like, hey, this is like the fulsome lay of the land here for the series. Just what I'm thinking.
I agree. Yeah. I think it started out of the gate really hot. I think we are probably in line for a table setter episode, just because, you know, if we know anything about Game of Thrones, about the way that the first series went, the pace was very deliberate, very slow up until the end, which obviously, you know, was rushed. But the first 5 seasons, for the most part, were very slow, and it took almost entire seasons just to get characters from one city to another, from,
yeah, you know, first down.
yeah. So it was a slow journey for a lot of these characters. Now I know, and this isn't a spoiler, I don't consider it a spoiler, but I read that this season is going to take about 28 years, which is a huge jump. We've never seen a jump like that in Game of Thrones. So I think that'll be new, that'll be interesting, and that leaves a lot of room for plot development, kind of, you know, major fast forwards, but also it I think it's necessary, because I guess, you know, in order for a lot of these, you know, if there's a battle over succession, you know, things, I guess things need to happen, you know, in yeah. order to get there. You know, we were talking about potentially the Velaryon children, or even Princess Rhaenyra herself. She's pretty young. So I don't know. There needs to be a lot of passage of time in order yeah. for some of these things to be as contentious as they can be.
Yeah, and Rhaenyra, I think we talked about this in the reaction, like that whole prologue is narrated by her, but it's not the young girl that we're seeing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't think that's season six, we're getting to that person. It's more like, you know, closer to episode six, we're getting to that person. You know, if we're going 28 years, we're getting, you know, passing time a lot faster.
Exactly.
So, talk to me, Curry. Anything else? Or what are we thinking about? We want to hit on a few, like, kind of internet.
So, you know, we put out a question on Twitter at right after Hot D, H-O-T-D, Hot D. That's the Dragons, right after H-O-T-D. And some of the responses we got, so there's a popular kind of internet thing going on, as you said, regarding a character we saw from Game of Thrones. And that
oldie
is,
but a goodie.
Yeah, very oldie. That is Melisandre, the Red Woman. So apparently the actress, Carice Van Houten, she posted something on her social media along the lines of, you know, oh, you know, it would be cool if Melisandre showed up in House of the Dragon, something along those lines. She just kind of hinted at it. It was a little, you know, tongue in cheek. But now it got people thinking, like, wait a minute, Melisandre, you know, she was hundreds of years old. So she could be around in this timeline of House of the Dragons. So the question is, you know, will we see Melisandre? My position on that is no. We know that in Game of Thrones, she's a follower of the Red God or whatever, you know, the Lord of Light. And even then, it's kind of like a newer movement, you know? So I don't think that's something that started during the Targaryen dynasty. So I don't think we're going to see Melisandre. I think it would be cool, but it also would be a little fan service-y. So I don't think we're going to see her.
There's another one, right? Or another thing that
another question. Yeah. Another question we had on Twitter in similar vein is, will we see Jack and Hagar or, you know, the faceless men of Braavos?
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I think that one is also not likely. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more likely than Melisandre, but I don't think it's very likely. I think this series is going to be pretty much entirely focused on just the doings in Westeros. I don't think we're going to be going to Braavos or the Free Cities. Maybe we will. Maybe I'm wrong on that. This is just kind of the read I'm getting so far. But yeah, I don't think we're gonna see Braavos, and I don't think the Faceless Men. You know, there was no hints in Game of Thrones that the Faceless Men were connected to the Targaryens at all. So yeah, I think they're going to stay in Braavos. I don't think we're going to see them.
Yeah. What I want to talk about. I want to talk about just trailer just for a second. I mean, it's heavy dragons. Like we are, I think, like dragons in Thrones was kind of like there's only a few, and like there were some huge scenes like at the very end. But like I'm just seeing a lot of dragons. And I know they came out with that report almost like we're not gonna have like fan servicey like dragon battle or sex scenes, but like there's gonna definitely be some fan servicey dragons in the trailer because it was like fire was like everywhere
for sure.
And so I think we just gotta be you know, we don't know like they said there was 10 dragons. We don't know like the full like where they are. If you know, these are like armies essentially at some point. Like you have a dragon, it's a big fucking deal. And so go ahead.
And yeah, that's gonna be a major difference between House of the Dragons and Game of Thrones. As we saw, you know, Game of Thrones, no one had dragons. Everyone was just fighting. Then all of a sudden Daenerys has dragons. She's dominating the world. She's conquering cities with dragons. And then obviously, you know, in the end there's an ice dragon and there's two dragons and then there's one dragon. So yeah. So dragons were a major, major deal. It was like having, you know, like the ultimate weapon and, you know, a nuke or something.
Yeah.
Now in this timeline of the world, it seems like there's going to be, you know, different players, opposing players have dragons. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're used, if it's like dragon on dragon combat, if it's something like we saw with Daenerys where, you know, use the dragon, burn the city, and take the spoils. So it's gonna be interesting to see exactly, you know, where the dragons line up in terms of who has how many dragons, who has which dragons, which dragons are bigger and stronger than the others or more vicious. So I think that's gonna be interesting, just to understand the balance of power when it comes to the dragons.
Yeah, especially if, like, you know, Daemon's making his way back, right? And he's just trying, like, we see, like, I could just almost envision, like, goes far away, makes his way back, he's got a dragon, and he's just picking up, like, bodies, people, cities, like, and, like, I'm the man, and, like, let's roll. And that's, like, very plausible if he's walking into places that don't have dragons or haven't seen dragons or, you know, or I haven't seen dragons, really, but probably are just, like, what are we going to do? Get our face melted or Daemon Targaryen's the man. Okay. Like he's the man. And so I think that's a plausible, you know, like Candyland movement for him back towards, the throne.
I could see that for sure. One thing you said, I just wanted to touch on, you said something about, if they haven't seen dragons. So that's a big difference between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragons. If you remember in Game of Thrones, like when anyone saw a dragon, they were stunned. Like Jon Snow, like ducked and hit the deck the first time he saw a dragon. You know, Arya, I remember her looking up and being in awe. In House of the Dragons, these people shouldn't really be as shocked or amazed at the dragons. I mean, they can still be amazed, but they're not going to be like, you know, stopping in their footsteps, staring at the sky. They might just be, there goes another one of the Targaryen dragon riders.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, very much like you said, like not it's less nuke because everyone like has it now, but it's still like a trump card if you're walking into a place that doesn't have a dragon or you're going to get someone who doesn't have a dragon, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about it, like if Daemon stops by, you know, I'm not sure exactly of the current landscape, but let's say he stops by like Harrenhal, which was like the castle that was in ruins in Game of Thrones time. So he stops by Harrenhal and says, all right, like here I am with Caraxes, my giant dragon. Swear your loyalty to me and my claim to the throne, or else I'll burn down the entire castle and all the people around it. What are they going to say? You know, they don't have a dragon at Harrenhal as far as I know. So, and what are they going to, they're going to send a raven to King Viserys. You know, it's not going to get there in time. So I don't know. It's dragons are still obviously the strength of the army is the strength, you know, the major weapon. So it'll be interesting just to see how they're wielded against people that don't have them and how they're wielded against people that do.
Absolutely. Anything else you're thinking about going into Epi 2?
Other than that, going into Epi 2, I hope that it holds up to episode one. We had great momentum. Hope we can keep it going. And they've been pretty tight in terms of on the HBO side. There haven't been any releases of photos or I don't even think we have a title yet for episode two, which usually we get that prior to it. But just checking now, House of the Dragon episode two.
Yeah, I wonder when they'll drop it. You know, you can look.
Just as episode two. So we don't have a title yet, but we do know it'll be on 9 o'clock HBO, streaming HBO Max, and we'll be there watching.
Awesome. And I think for me, it's just almost like expect table setter like vibes, but almost like welcome. I'm like welcoming that. You know what I'm saying? Like give me like lay the board out for me. You know, and they did, and I think like a medium-sized way. And I think, you know, Thrones is normally the board's extra large. And I think we'll probably, I'm welcoming it. And I think we will see a little bit more of the game board, chess board here being laid out for sure. So Anything else before we start the adapter?
Just the usual. Make sure you listen and follow, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Follow on Twitter.
Hot day.
Right after Hot D.
House of the Dragon, for sure. It's totally should have made it House of Dragons. I don't know why. I feel like that was such a layup. Game of Thrones, House of Dragons. I don't know. Maybe we're splitting hairs here. But I'm all good. Kerr, you're all good?
All good.
Can't wait. Episode 2. Let's keep doing this thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, next time we will be back right after Dragons.